U.S. markets are open for the first time since S&P slashed America's credit rating.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, what does the U.S. debt rating downgrade mean for the markets, and what does it mean for you and me? But first, where's Wall Street? Well, stocks are lower this morning. The Dow is down 210 points, almost 2%, 11,233. The Nasdaq also down 2%, and same with the S&P 500. And wouldn't you know it, same with the European markets, down about 2% this morning, and the Asian markets, same thing. The price of oil has dropped to around $83 a barrel. The price of gold has jumped to almost $1,700 an ounce. Interestingly, though, investors are not fleeing government bonds. The interest rate on 10-year U.S. debt has dropped to less than 2.5%. Now let's get some reaction from Wall Street. Julia Coronado is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she is with us live from New York, as she is every Monday. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Well, what do you make of the market reaction to the downgrade so far?
Well, I think it comes against the backdrop of a lot of downgrading of growth expectations that's been happening over the last week or two. So people have been marking down their forecasts for the U.S. and also for Europe and even emerging markets. So it's in some senses reflection of those broader worries that the global economy is slowing down and maybe a little more precarious than we had thought before.
People are more concerned with growth than they are with the actual downgrade of U.S. government debt.
I think that that's right. I mean, the S&P doesn't know any secret that we don't already know about the U.S. fiscal outlook. It's just a reminder that there are a lot of big structural problems still facing the global economy.
All right. Well, S&P has been holding a conference call this morning, and I want to play you a little bit of that. Here's John Chambers, who is chairman of S&P's Sovereign Debt Rating Committee, explaining the downgrade.
We think that elected officials across the political spectrum are unable to proactively take measures to put U.S. public finances on a sustainable footing in the same sort of manner as some of our most highly rated governments.
So Washington unable to come together and get the U.S. on a sustainable footing. Is that your big takeaway from this downgrade?
Well, I think, look, it's easy to blame the politicians, but what's going on is we have a lot of big fiscal challenges, and we can't really resolve them without taking lower retirement benefits, paying more taxes, and we don't tend to elect politicians that tell us those things. So I think what I take away from the S&P downgrade is that we do have a big challenge ahead of us, and we really need to start facing it if we want to protect, really, our way of life.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks so much, as always.
It's my pleasure.
Well, now let's turn to the consumer. What does the downgrade mean for you and me? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith has that part of the story.
Right now, we're reading about the credit downgrade in our newspapers. But in a few months, we could be seeing that downgrade in our mortgage statements and our credit card bills. Bart Narder analyzes banking for Salient.
Most mortgages and credit card interest rates are tied to either treasuries or the prime. Should the interest rate of treasuries increase, the mortgages are going to increase as well.
In the long run, a U.S. credit downgrade would likely make U.S. treasury bonds seem riskier to investors. That means Uncle Sam will have to offer higher interest rates to convince investors to take on that extra risk. The hike would probably not be noticeable on your Amex bill, just pocket change. But Narder says they're potentially very noticeable on a mortgage loan. Just think about how much it costs if your mortgage rate increases by just a couple points. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. For the latest business news, go to marketplace.org and click on the newsletters tab to get business and economic news delivered to you daily, right now to your inbox.
Here's an economic bright spot. The latest report on how much stuff the U.S. ships by truck shows an increase from May to June. But there may be fewer truckers available to move all that freight, as Ben Philpott reports now from KUT in Austin, Texas.
There are really two driver shortages facing the trucking industry: quantity and quality. Over the last few years, regulators have been rating truck drivers and the companies they work for, get a low score for anything from unsafe driving to improper loading, and a pink slip may not be far behind. Bob Costello is with the American Trucking Association.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. We want the best people out there driving a truck, no doubt about it, but it does make some operational challenges, and finding qualified drivers is one of them.
Fewer qualified drivers was okay during the recession, when there was less stuff to ship, but as the economy picks back up, the lack of drivers has become an issue, especially in Texas.
It would impact all ports. It would impact all sectors across the state.
John Esparza heads up the Texas Motor Transportation Association. He says Texas needs more truckers to haul goods from its Gulf Coast ports and many oil refineries. And there's another factor that could limit trucking capacity. This fall, the federal government is considering new regulations that would cut the number of hours a driver can work. The American Trucking Association's Bob Costello says the rules would force companies to hire more drivers for trucking relays to get goods delivered in a timely manner.
We will need 5 to 7% more trucks and drivers to haul the same amount of freight. So yes, that would exacerbate the shortage.
National and state trucking associations say current time limits are sufficient and the new rules wouldn't improve safety. The groups hope to convince federal regulators of this before they finalize the rules in October. In Austin, I'm Ben Philpott for Marketplace.
And finally, with all the rough economic news lately, sometimes it's not a bad idea to just stop and sing a song. That's exactly what Gary Russo has been doing. He's a construction worker who's part of the team building the new 2nd Avenue subway line in New York City. And every day at lunchtime, he stops to belt out some Sinatra for the people passing by. And he's not half bad.
Like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by.
The great Gary Russo. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
Beneath the blue umbrella sky.
This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.